That song really fits our series, Psalms for All Seasons. And we're not just talking about spring, summer, fall, winter. We're talking all the seasons of our life. And in this room this morning, I'm sure we have more than four seasons of life. All kinds of seasons we have that we go through. I'd like to welcome you. If this is your first time, I hope you feel welcomed. If it's not your first time, and it's your first time, I hope that through God's word this morning in the book of Psalms, I hope that there'll be something for each person here. This is my prayer.
Yes.
We all need something different, right? That's the way we are. We need something. Pray the Lord will give us each something. We have been, for a past number of months, having different people come up here to read the verses. And the reason we're doing this is mainly because we want to increase our sense of community in the church here. Each time, somebody different, a little story they give about themselves, you get to know them by name, maybe their family, and it increases the feeling of, hey, we're all in this together. So this morning, I'm inviting Manny to come up, and he's going to read to us the verses from Psalm chapter 71. This is not a recent picture, by the way. With Mike here.
Good morning. So for those of you who don't know me, my name is Manny. So that, yeah, that's right, Del. This is a picture taken 18 years ago. So that's my wife, Gemma. We've been married for the last 27 years.
Mm.
And I just thought about this yesterday. We've been married for half of my life. So the term better half has literal and figurative significance to me as of this time. And that's our only son, John, is right there.
And he's so recording this.
So he was a year old when this picture was taken. He was just a cute, fun, and cuddly baby at that time. Flash forward 18 years. Okay, we have an addition to the picture. So that's Bethel. At this time... Mommy and Daddy are no longer the focus and object of his affection. So we're just in the sidelines now. So I was born and raised in the Philippines, and like many Filipino families, we were raised from a religious background. So many Filipino families are quite religious. But when I was a student in a university, I was looking for something more. And when I was a student, I actually met a number of Christian students on campus. And I met with them, you know, on a regular basis. It went on for several years. And in those meetings that I've had, the gatherings I've had with those Christian believers, then I got to know more about God. I got to know more about the Bible and know about Christ. Actually, in one of those Christian gatherings, it was a time when I actually got to know my future wife at that time. So, over the years, God has revealed himself to me in many, many different ways. And he still is revealing himself to me up to this point. So, you know, the verse that I could think of at this point is the verse in Luke that says, seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. For those who seek, find. And for those who knock, the door will be opened. So I'm going to read the verse for you this morning. So it's a relatively long psalm, so you have to stay with me. This is Psalm 71. I read the whole thing.
Yeah.
Psalm 71. God's help in old age. I'm getting there. Number one, Lord, I seek refuge in you. Let me never be disgraced. In your justice, rescue and deliver me. Listen closely to me and save me. Be a rock of refuge for me, where I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, my God, from the power of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and oppressive. For you are my hope, Lord God, my confidence from my youth. I have leaned on you from birth. You took me from my mother's womb. My praise is always about you. I am like a miraculous sign to many, and you are my strong refuge. My mouth is full of praise and honor to you all day long. Don't discard me in my old age. As my strength fails, do not abandon me. For my enemies talk about me, and those who spy on me plot together, saying, God has abandoned him, chase him and catch him, for there is no one to rescue him. God, do not be far from me. My God, hurry to help me. May my adversaries be disgraced and destroyed. May those who intend to harm me be covered with disgrace and humiliation. But I will hope continually and will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell about your righteousness and your salvation all day long, though I cannot sum them up. I come because of the mighty acts of the Lord God. I will proclaim your righteousness, yours alone. God, you have taught me from my youth, and I still proclaim your wondrous works. Even while I am old and gray, God, do not abandon me. While I proclaim your power to another generation, your strength to all who are to come. Your righteousness reaches the heights, God, you who have done great things, God who is like you. You caused me to experience many troubles and misfortunes, but you will revive me again. You will bring me up again, even from the depths of the earth. You will increase my honor and comfort me once again. Therefore, I will praise you with a harp for your faithfulness, my God. I will sing to you with lyre, Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you, because you have redeemed me. Therefore, my tongue will proclaim your righteousness all day long. For those who intend to harm me will be disgraced and confounded.
Amen. Thank you. So, this is a psalm, as Manny mentioned at the beginning, a psalm of a person in old age. And you say, well, then I guess it's not for me if you're from that side of the room. actually, I would say what's helpful about this psalm really is when we're looking at it this morning, we want to look at it from the whole lifelong perspective. And the psalmist does this. He's looking back. He's also considering present, and he's also looking to the future. And so we'd like to look at it kind of this way, and based on this, I believe there's something here for every one of us, regardless of what our age is. Okay? Let me tell you a little story to start off. You know, in your life, there are certain times you look back and certain things you remember, even from younger age. And I remember when I was in third grade, what would make me about 8 or 9 years of age. I remember sitting in a Sunday morning with my parents in church, At that time, kids were with parents for the whole hour. Believe it or not, I was taking notes of the preacher's sermon. Now, I know I didn't do that very often, and that's probably why I remembered it. But what I'm saying is this: it doesn't matter how young we are. If we want something, we can get it. Now, I don't mean the impossible. I'm just saying, even here, we shouldn't think, I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm too in between. There's always, if you really want to receive something from the Lord, He is ready to give to us. So never think that we are too something. Okay. The book of Psalms could be considered either a book of poetry or a book of songs. Right?
Yes.
Either way. Very poetic. And of course, good songs are good poems as well, right? Anyway, a lot of the Psalms have titles given to them. Not by the writer of the Psalms, but by the editors, which give us a context of that psalm. And oftentimes these titles, they give us a context, but sometimes they're very brief. But that brevity actually portrays a big story behind it. So, for example, 2 weeks ago we covered Psalm 51. Almost every Bible has, the beginning is it, when David went into Bathsheba. Or something like that, the wife of Uriah. Yes. Well, Psalm 51 has a backstory. There's a backstory, there's a story behind that psalm, that prayer. Actually, you think about it. Most of your prayers have a story behind it. Almost every prayer that we have has a story behind it. Our life is full of stories. Some happy stories, a lot of difficult stories, and hence a lot of prayer. You think about this. When nothing is happening in your life, I mean, everything is. Do you pray much? No. You mostly pray when you're having trouble. Right? And maybe that's why you have trouble, so you would pray. Okay. So Psalm 71 doesn't have a title. This is one of the Psalms that wasn't given a title. But it does, when you're finished reading it, as you heard Manny this morning, there's kind of a story. What is it? It's a life story. The story of my life. Looking back. And also, the writer of this psalm, we're assuming it's David, we don't know for sure. But the writer of the psalm is somebody who's, they're not 15, they're not 16, they've lived a while. They've had a fairly substantial amount of life, and it's not over yet, because they are looking forward, but they're also looking back. So, let's look back. Let's start by looking back. How does the psalmist, in his old age, he is looking back? You know, until you've lived many years, you really can't look back. There's nothing to look back to. You're only looking forward. But the psalmist in verses 5 and 6 says, "For you are my hope, Lord God, my confidence from my youth." From my youth, God, you have been my hope and my confidence. Then in verse 6 he says, "I have leaned on you from birth." What kind of a person is this who can say, from the time I was born, I've been leaning on God? Now, I believe there's some in this room who wish that was their testimony, but it isn't. And this is why I would say this is something for us The younger we are when we can say, God, I lean on you, the better. I know there are some, sometimes we like to go online and we like to read these dramatic stories of somebody who was deep in sin and, you know, just, it was nasty and awful, and then the Lord miraculously saved them. Praise the Lord saved them. That's wonderful. But they can't say this. They can't say, God, I've leaned on you from my youth. From the time I was born, I've been leaning on you. They can't say it. That's not their testimony. Can you have this testimony, Lord? Well, I know there's no newborns in the room here. But let me seek to this side of the room. I don't know why, but just, you know, this is the youthful side of the room. Learn to lean now. Learn to lean now. Don't wait. Don't wait. Don't say, well, I got a lot of time to live my life. Maybe later I'll follow God. That's not what the psalmist is saying here. Realizing even I was brought forth by God from my mother's womb. I really see God's sovereignty in my whole life. What kind of a person is this who has learned to lean on God? I would say this, you know, the sooner we learn to lean on God. You know, last week, Nigel shared on the matter of God is our refuge. This kind of thought pervades the Psalms. So many Psalms, even this Psalm talks about God as my refuge. And I'm seeking God to be my refuge. So refuge is not just for 1 week. No, refuge comes up again and again in the Psalms. Have you learned to take God, to seek God as your refuge? Verse 1 said, Lord, I seek refuge in you. Learn it from your youth. You know, recently, one of my children is going through, I would call it a stressful time, a time of anxiety, okay? And I speak with her every day, sometimes multiple times a day. And this week I was thinking, why can't you just trust the Lord in this matter? And then I was kind of challenged by the Lord. Okay, do you remember when you were that age? How was your trusting doing? How were you trusting? And then I was again reminded of a situation. This is back around 1987. Again, you remember where you were often with critical things in life. I was in Taiwan. And one morning, and I was at that time, I was going through Philippians, where the Apostle Paul says in Philippians, I have learned in whatever circumstance I am in to be content. And I said, Lord, my verse is, I have not learned to be content. I don't know what it'll take, but I'm not content. I am not content in all circumstances. Why? I'm really anxious. Now, sorry, I need to backtrack again to last week. I can't remember if Nigel shared this, but it's in the supplementary material. You can trust and be anxious at the same time. The illustration he gave of hanging onto the branch as you're falling off the cliff. But learning to trust, Learning to trust takes a lifetime. Start learning now. Don't wait till you're older. Learn now. We have another verse, verse 17. God, you have taught me from my youth, and I still proclaim your wonderful works. Are you being taught? Are you being taught? And actually, I would say this. Being taught, again, is a lifelong matter. I hope that we all, even when, if the Lord should give us 90 years, when we're still 90, we would be willing to be taught by God, seeking God, never giving up. And this is actually the attitude of this psalmist. God's taught me from my youth. My whole life I'm being taught. We have a quote here from a guy who I can't pronounce his name. The psalm shows us, that Psalm 71 shows us, that it is people who have learned to trust God in their youth who know how to trust him in their old age when it is most needed. You don't start trusting God when you're already old. You start when you're young, before it's too late. Learn to trust God now in small things. Don't wait until you're old to start trusting. And I know this is not easy. I'll tell you why. First of all, it's not easy to trust because we don't have many experiences of trusting. The more experiences that we have of trusting God, the more we realize God is trustworthy. And because God is trustworthy in my present situation, even though I have anxiety, I still trust God more. Then in verse 20. Do we have verse 20 up next? Maybe not. Okay. Verse 20 says, you caused me to experience many troubles and misfortunes, but you revive me again. You will bring me up again even from the depths of the earth. You know, we all don't want trouble, right? Every one of us doesn't want to have trouble. And we do whatever we can to prevent from having trouble. But there's just no such thing as a life that is trouble-free. And, you know, here's the interesting thing. We all, many of us, maybe not all, many of us have this dream that, you know, someday I'm going to be able to retire from my job and then everything will be nice and smooth and there'll be no problems. It's just like riding into the sunset. Hazel, does that work? Is that true? No problems, right? I wish, yes. Okay. She's got children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. She's got a lot to be anxious about, right? Okay. Well, here, the other end of the spectrum is you have no children, no grandchildren, but then you're worried about being lonely. It's just, it's no win, right? What does the psalmist say, though? He says, yes, you've caused me to experience many troubles and misfortunes, but you will revive me again. How can the psalmist say that? Because again and again and again, the psalmist has been through all kinds of troubles. But because they realized through every trouble, God did bring me through. He doesn't say God rescued me. No, He revived me. There was an experience of difficulty. Even the psalmist uses a lot of expressions that we may think refer to physical death, but he is referring to just deep trials. Then he says, but God will revive me again. So we have another quote from the same fellow, Federico. Even in old age, trials and difficulties in life, including the experiences of opposition, continue. How we wish that when we were old, life would be easier, more relaxed, but often such is not the case. There's never a time that we do not need God. There's never a time that we do not need God. It is in our old age that we need to trust God all the more. I know that in this room, we have some people who are extremely capable, have good jobs, and well-educated. But let me ask you this. Do you seek refuge in God? Or do you seek refuge in your job or your education or your family? What are you seeking refuge in? There's lots of things you can go after to seek refuge in. Maybe it's your bank account. Maybe it's your investments. Do you realize that there is the possibility God can take any of those things away from you? Except God himself. God doesn't take himself away from you. You may have this thought, well, I'm going to work, and at 65, or now it's now, what, 67? I don't know. Then I'm going to retire. What happens if 10 years before your retirement date, you're struck with an illness and you have to quit work? You can't work. Then what? Where is your refuge? Is your refuge God? If your refuge is your job, sorry, you've lost your refuge. Most couples want to have children. Then they have children. It's wonderful when they're little babies. They're innocent. Then they grow up and, man, I'll never forget this. One sister told me, says, when your kids are little, they step on your toes. When they're big, they step on your heart. She should know she had 7 children. Trouble seems to be everywhere. Where is our refuge? If we think our children and our family is going to be our refuge, someday you're going to be disappointed. If your refuge is in your investments, that's guaranteed you're going to be disappointed. That's kind of a no-brainer. But do you, when you go to work, tomorrow morning, on your way to work, are you trusting in God as your refuge, or are you trusting in your ability, your education, your position? I know, Nigel's mentioned this before. You work for a company for how many years? They give you a wonderful goodbye party. A week later, you've been erased from existence. As far as they're concerned, you don't work there anymore. You don't have keys to the place. You're gone. And it doesn't take long You're gone from memory even. You're still there. I mean, you still exist. You're alive and you're retired and forgotten about. What's your refuge? So, what is the psalmist? How does the psalmist look at things? That's kind of looking past. Sorry, let me just go back here a little bit. Got my pages out of order here. Okay, yeah. The psalmist also looks forward. How does he look forward? First of all, he says, Lord, in verses 9 and 18, Lord, don't discard me when I'm getting old. Don't forsake me. Don't discard me. Don't abandon me. Don't throw me under the bus. Right? Okay, look at this verse 9. As my strength fails, do not abandon me. In other words, okay, yeah, I can't do as much as I used to. My strength fails. But God, don't abandon me. Don't abandon me. When I'm old, do not abandon me. What? Then I will proclaim your power to another generation. I like this. Your strength to all who are to come. What is this person saying? Okay, as I'm getting older, first of all, God, don't abandon me. Secondly, you know what? I have a new job. What is my new job? My new job is to proclaim your power to another generation. Your strength to all who are to come. Kind of parallel thing, right? In other words, what is this? My job as an older person is to let the next generation and generations that are coming to know the God who has been my refuge, the God in whom I have leaned on from my birth, that God I want to proclaim to other people. The next generation. In other words, there's still work for me to do, no matter how old I am. So the question I have is this. How do we view older people? And I'm not looking for sympathy. I don't feel that old yet. But how do we look at older people? Do we look at them as, well, they should be put on the shelf. Let's let the young people take over. No. I'm not saying that the young people shouldn't rise up. Neither am I saying that we should not give them place to rise up, opportunity to grow, opportunity to even lead. Some years ago, I was visiting a church in Halifax, Dartmouth to be exact. Anyway, I was there Sunday morning and I found it interesting because the pastor who had been the pastor there before had retired. There was another pastor and he'd been there for a little while. But the retired pastor, I saw what he did. I was impressed. Number one, he and his wife came early, about an hour before the meeting, to gather with a few other people to pray for that meeting in the morning. I realized, okay, this couple, he's retired, but he realized I still can pray for what God is presently doing with the next generation. Number two, the second thing that happened was he was asked to pray in the morning meeting for that meeting. And I realized, okay, here's two things, two sides. One is, as a person, I'm not on the shelf. Secondly, the church itself, the congregation itself felt, yes, this brother is retired, but he still has a blessing that he still can be a blessing to us because he has experience of God. There's one thing that I really worship the Lord for and am thankful for is this church. Because we have all ages. We have all ages. It's a blessing for a church to have all ages. It is. When I first came to this church in 1971, you go figure that one out now. How's your math? Probably the oldest person was, oh, your parents. Now I remember. Yes, Grace's parents. They were probably the oldest, right? There were a few older people, but it was not that many older people, right? They're rare. You know, other than her parents, maybe most, the next one probably was in their 50s. That's not really old. That's not really old. But today we have all the ages. What a blessing. For a church to have all the ages is a real, real blessing. So, what is the person looking forward to say? You know, I'm not finished life yet. I'm going on. I have this nice quote by this guy, Charles Simeon. So, Charles Simeon, he had been a pastor for 50 years, over 50 years. He retired, and then somebody found out he still got up as usual, 4 o'clock every morning, praying and studying the Bible. And somebody said to him, "What? You're retired. Why do you do that?" And he says, "Shall I not now run with all my might when the winning post is in sight?" Isn't that good? What runner slows down in the last 50 feet of the race? How about that? I love that quote. Don't stop. You run more. Run faster. I'm not finished yet. Okay, what else? Looking forward. The psalmist what? Makes declarations concerning God. You know, this psalm is interesting because there's this, what should we call it? The interplay of what? Petition and you might say, praise or expressions of confidence. So, for example, verse 3 says, "Lord, be a rock to me." Then he says, "You are a rock to me." Right? Verse 4, "Deliver me." Verse 5, "You are my hope, my confidence from my youth." Verse 12, "God, don't be far from me. Hurry to help me." Then verse 14, "I will hope continually and praise you more and more." Another one, verse 18, "God, don't abandon me when I'm old." Then he says, "I will proclaim your power to another generation." There's this interplay, like, "Lord, do something for me, but oh yeah, I'm strong." You know, I was thinking about this. If David wrote this Psalm 71, hey, you know what? He's the king. He's powerful. What should he be afraid of? He still seeks God. Verse 15, he says, "I'm going to tell about God's righteousness and God's salvation." In other words, the psalmist says, "I'm not going to shut up. I'm going to speak what God has done." Verse 14, he's hoping continually and he's praising God. This is kind of the center of this chapter. That's why we call the title Hoping and Praising. At the end of this chapter, he's praising, he's singing, he's proclaiming God's righteousness all day long. So, question is this: what are we going to then do today? So we look back in the past, we look forward to the future. How do I live my life today then? Based on what I've seen in the past, based on what's probably in my future, how do I live my life today? Number one, I seek God to be my refuge. I put my hope, my trust in God. I know last week, Nigel shared about take God being your refuge. And this week in one of the small groups I was in, someone said, you know, I heard the message, but I didn't get it. That's not Nigel's fault either. But after by the end of the time in that community group, that small group, she got it. Just a little plug for our small groups. You know, we do what we can here Sunday morning, but sometimes, let's face it, we don't get it, right? We need the nail to be hit on the head again. Oh, that's what it means. Oh, yeah, right. I think I seek refuge in God. No, I don't. I seek refuge in my capability, not God. So, toward God, he lives a life seeking God to be his refuge. This is a prominent theme in this psalm. God is my rock. God is my fortress. At the same time, he has prayer for rescue because he knows life still has got problems. You get older, you don't have less problems. You got different problems. If you live long enough, you're going to have health problems. Then, at the same time, the psalmist says they're always hoping and praising God more and more. God's their confidence. Then, what about to other people? Here's the lastly. So, we live a life, firstly, we live a life toward God. We also live a life toward other people. And as we already mentioned, what does this psalmist do in concerning other people? He proclaims God's power to another generation. As we get older, we should realize, no, there's something I have. I've experienced God through how many years of my life? I want others to know the same God. It's not a matter of boasting in our experience. No, it's to help others know this God that we know. Have we had failures? Endless. But we've also gotten to know God through all kinds of experiences. You know, some weeks ago, Nigel shared on this matter of the psalmist kind of writing things down, whatever.
Writing the scroll.
I have very few regrets in life because I don't like to dwell on regrets. But there is some regrets I have. And one of the regrets I have is this. I regret not asking my parents more questions concerning their life with the Lord. I don't know how my parents received the Lord. What was their transaction with the Lord? How did it happen? When did it happen? I don't know. And they're gone. And so I can't ask them. So one day, I asked my uncle, my dad's younger brother, and his comment was, I don't know. So I realized, it's gone. If he doesn't know, nobody knows. Well, nobody that's alive knows. So here I have a proposal for all of those who are over a certain age. How about you write your biography or your journey with God for the sake of another generation, for those to come? I started doing that because I realized, you know what? God has been good to me. Should I not proclaim God's goodness, God's righteousness, God's holiness, God's glory to the next generation? I don't know how long it'll take me. I just started. Got to start somewhere, so I started. What will you leave your children? Will you leave your children money, or will you leave them God? Will your children know the Lord as you do? And then I would say this, whose responsibility is it to proclaim to your children God's power? Are you going to leave a legacy to your children, a legacy of God? Or do you just leave a legacy of education? I'm not saying you don't give your children education, but listen. You want security in your education? Sorry, ran out of time. No story. Quick story. After my son graduated from law school, he went and did his one-year articles in a way-off place called Yellowknife. And then he got a job in Yellowknife. You say, what a place to have a job. He came back for a quick visit, got together with some of his classmates, and one classmate in particular, who was the classmate who had the top grades in his class at Osgoode Law School. Guess what? He didn't have a job. He didn't have a job. My son said, wow, I have a job. God's been good to me. Yes, it's in Yellowknife, but I have a job. You want to rely on your education? You want to be the top of the class? Doesn't guarantee you anything. Your glory is that you're the top of the class. That's it. You have no job. Maybe he has a job now. I don't know. Declare God's wonderful works to the next generation. Then, I would say this. Let's look at the very last verse. Do we have the last verse here? The very last verse says, therefore, my tongue will proclaim your righteousness all day long. You know, in this verse, it doesn't indicate who he is telling, who he's proclaiming to. And I believe the psalmist says, I don't care who is out there. You know God, you don't know God. You believe in God, you don't believe in God. Let me tell you about God's righteousness. You're a believer, you're not a believer. I'm going to tell you about God. You receive it, you don't receive it, I don't care. I'm going to tell you what God has done for me. How wonderful God has been to me. He's powerful. He's strong. He's righteous. He is my refuge. He's my rock. He's my stronghold. He's all these things through my whole life. This is the God I know. I hope you can know him too. Let's pray. Lord, regardless of what age we are, we want to seek refuge in you. We don't want to trust all the other things in life that are insecure. Only you are secure. Only you are sure. Only you are trustworthy. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here this morning who has never come to know you in this way, pray for their hearts to be open to seek you, the only secure, the only true God in Jesus Christ. Lord, forgive us for pursuing other things trusting things that are not secure, trusting things that we think are secure but are not. Lord, cause us to come to you more and more. Lord, in all the difficulties, whether they're small, whether they're big, Lord, we want to find refuge in you above all other things. We ask this in the name of your dear, wonderful Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Two announcements quickly. 2 weeks from now, we are going to have a baptism at 10 o'clock here. Lastly, if you just feel like, Lord, I need to pray, and I need to pray with someone, we have a prayer room. You go out this door to the right. There's a little prayer room back here. There'll be somebody there to pray with you. May you go in peace and find God as your refuge this week. Amen. Amen.